Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FN Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Wednesday morning, 251-343-0106. Time permitting, we'll get to your text at the conclusion of today's program. So please stay engaged if you can. Joining us now on the line, he is the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. Always a pleasure to bring on my next guest, Scott Stadhagen, state representative from Hartselle. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for making time for us. We appreciate it. I'll just start here. Your reaction, Supreme Court ruled. I anticipated this, but you guys certainly have had your work cut out for you.
We have, man. It has been an interesting couple of weeks, and we knew that most likely this was going to take place. I think the timing of it was the biggest thing we were cautious with, and it could not come at a better time.
So we're moving forward. You feel good about all the parameters, all the boxes being checked, everything you need to do for an August 11th special election.
Absolutely. Finally. You know, after all this chaos, we finally feel confident in using the 23 maps. We feel confident as a party moving forward and gaining some seats back. I'm looking forward to get our candidates elected and get our team, you know, put together and get ready for the big battle in the general.
Yeah. And so, you know, even then you look at it, it's sort of overtime. We got a runoff coming up here in 2 weeks.
That's right.
And then once we get past that, then you're just sort of doing the blocking and tackling. You don't get involved in the primary directly.
Correct.
And then it's off to the races for November.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I feel like a football coach because we got our dry erase board ready with some empty positions, and we've got to put some players in those positions and get ready for the big battle.
Well, but legally, we think we're good, solid ground, that everything has been done that needed to be done. Is there any other foreseeable problems, challenges, et cetera?
I don't see any. I think SCOTUS, with their ruling last night, you know, I was literally sitting there on my back porch last night wondering, like, I wonder how the latest that they could make a ruling, you know, and I get the tweet, and I'm like, man, this is great. No, that's it. We are finally done. We can finally start moving forward with a game plan, and there's so much uncertainty before and confusion. We've got people that have literally qualified three different times to run for a seat, which is crazy. You know, when I go back to, you know, three branches of government, when you have a judiciary branch trying to do the legislative branch's work, this is what happens. It creates chaos.
As far as that chaos goes, it seems to have settled down, but I guess one of the criticisms about the entire process, not of our own making, people are confused. They don't know when to go vote. But, I don't find that, especially based on the turnout, that to be necessarily the case.
Well, no doubt Republicans can do a whole lot better in their participation at the ballot box. We saw, you know, numbers dropping that a little bit. We are going to really hammer out the message of how important it is for Republicans to show up and vote. I don't think it caused confusion for the most part. You know, it could have caused mass confusion a lot more than it did. But I think ultimately the citizens are paying attention with you guys and all the other news outlets who are kind of letting them know what's taking place, and with us, with transparency of trying to let them know what's going on the best we possibly can, because sometimes it's just you don't know. And now, you know, we've got dates set in place. We've got the runoff June 16th. We've got August 11th. We've got this primary. And then August 12th, we will officially have our Republican team, and then we will be preparing and getting ready.
Talk about this, and I think you alluded to it. You know, Republican turnout a little down in some places. And I don't know if that will be a reflection of what is to come in November, but if you're looking at it as sort of a warning sign, I mean, is there time enough to make sure that that's not the case in November?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and we're going to be doing some polling and just kind of getting the citizens' voice on if they voted, and if they didn't, why didn't they vote? You know, I think it's very important to know from our citizens where they stand. And it could be where I've heard from some people that, you know, some of these elections and some of these races has just gotten really nasty, and they, you know, they just don't want to participate in that. I get that. Some people, you know, just life is in the way. And I think, you know, some Congressman Gary Palmer was talking about a piece of legislation. They were talking about making our voting days a holiday, a federal holiday. And if you go vote, you can actually get off of work, but you have to have proof that you voted. And I think that is a phenomenal angle to actually get people to the ballot box and where they were able to vote, because, you know, sometimes you've got work and you've got kids practices and you got life, right? And of course you can do absentee voting, but I think ultimately we just need to make sure that people carve out 5 to 10 minutes and go in and cast their vote. Just because, I mean, a lot of men and women have died for us to have that opportunity and that right. And a lot of countries can't say that, you know, they have that obligation like we do.
But that's the name of the game. It's voter turnout. Primarily, from your standpoint, it's Republican turnout and making sure, you know, no matter who they're voting for in a Republican primary and our runoff, that Republicans do stay engaged.
Yes, 100%. And I mean, just think about this runoff, man. How crucial is this runoff? I mean, this election is going to determine our next United States senator that's going to work in hand with Senator Katie Britt. We've got the Attorney General's office, huge position for our state. We've got Lieutenant Governor's office. I mean, we've got some serious races that are going to be on the ballot box June 16th. And I think it's very imperative that everybody gets out and voice their opinion on this one.
Joined by Scott Stenning, and he is the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party here on the program. Chairman, so you talked about this yesterday on Right Side Media's podcast with Amy, Beth, and Allison.
Yeah.
And there's a ballot challenge underway with Tommy Tuberville that the yes. steering committee is going to hear that. Walk us through the process. Walk us through why now and all the ins or ifs, if you would.
Yeah, so let's just go back. Before I was chairman, I took over March 7th is when I became chair. And this was there was a challenge before that was, you know, coaches ballot access was challenged by McFeeters. McFeeters, you know, presented evidence to the steering committee and they did not see enough evidence to move forward with the hearing. So it was tossed. Then McFeeters filed in court. The judge said the same thing, you know, tossed it as well. So there's another challenge that you can do. And once the election's over with, a candidate can challenge the person who wins for the certification of being the nominee. And that is a really tight window of when you file that. And to be honest, when I turned in the certifications of our nominees, I literally had to take a picture of the time that I had turned it in, because that candidate who lost and who is challenging has, I believe it's 12 hours to file that report to file that challenge. Once that challenge is filed, then we have 5 days to meet as a steering committee. Determine if we're going to hear it, number one. Number two, when we're going to hear it. We did that this past Sunday. I think given McFeeters' due process, basically just putting us to bed, you know, let's get everything out there. Let's go ahead and do it. Let's be done with this. Let's move forward and, you know, focus on what really matters right now. And I'm looking forward to getting this over with, to be honest.
Well, walk us through what will be discussed. What kind of, I mean, evidence presented? I mean, what?
Yeah. You know, it's like a court. I mean, it's literally a mock courtroom. I will preside over it. The steering committee will be the jurors. You will have both sides, McFeeters and Coach Tuberville, and they actually can subpoena stuff for evidence. I think everybody saw that, you know, Coach released his tax records. And they'll get a time frame. I believe it's 45 minutes apiece to present their case to me and the steering committee. Then we will kind of deliberate and then we'll have a vote, and it will be determined that day and finished that day. But most importantly, you know, everything's going to be transparent. We're going to be open with everything. You see something about backroom deals and all this stuff with the Republican parties, and that is not the case. We will be out front ahead of this thing. As soon as it's over with, I will do a media release, and we will go over the facts, and we will go over the decision that was made and why that, you know, why we made that decision. And from that, we're going to move forward as a party in a state.
And, you know, what happens, okay, so if the steering committee says green light, Tommy Tuberville's good, and he's the nominee, what if for whatever reason it goes the other way, then what would happen?
Okay, so just hypothetically, if it were to go the other way, well, then the steering committee would pick the next nominee for the governor race.
Would they do it that day, or would there be a
I'd have to check on the time frame of that. Guaranteed it would not be that day. I don't know the time frame. I would imagine it would need to be pretty quickly. But yes, the steering committee would appoint the next Republican nominee for governor if that is the case.
Where does all this take place? You have a mock court setting. Talk a little bit about the backdrop.
Yeah, so it will be somewhere around Birmingham. And, of course, we will release where it's going to be at. And then we're still going over the details of how we're going to conduct the business and conduct the hearing in, you know, the ins and outs of, you know, is press going to be in? Are they going to be we're still figuring all that out yet, going through the bylaws, making sure we're doing everything we need to do per bylaws, and making sure, most importantly, that Coach and McFeeters are both treated fairly. But it probably will last, if I had to guess, 2 to 3 hours max. Of course, it's on the 14th. And then as soon as it's over with, I will immediately be meeting you guys and going over all the facts and going over the results and just – finally putting this to bed.
Is something ever like this happened before, or is this pretty much unprecedented?
I believe 4 years ago, something to this effect took place with Senator Watley and Jay Hovey. I don't know how long it lasted, but it was pretty hot and heavy, if you remember. But that's pretty much the last time. And that wasn't that's a little bit different. In this situation, theirs was, you know, the votes were tied and they were, you know, debating and determining all that stuff. But that's the last time this has taken place.
But you feel good about going into it, that the parties involved understand the rules. They yes. know what's ahead of them, that this will be a chance to air whatever the concerns are, and then a ruling will be rendered.
Yes. Yeah. And it will be, 100% transparent in everything that takes place. It'll be fair to both parties. But yes, it will. Once we're done, we're done, and we're going to move forward.
And then it's just game on to the election. This puts that to bed. There's no other yes. way that this comes back up again if Tuberville is greenlit.
Yeah, as far as the Republican Party is concerned, yes, this is done deal. There's no more cards to play, so to speak. Coach will be our nominee for governor, and from that point, we will start focusing on, as the Republican Party, getting him where he needs to be to win the game in November.
Well, talk about it. That'll be the top of the ticket. So further down. Good shape as far as the other down ballot races go. No problems there. We still have a runoff in 2 weeks, as I said, but there's no other unforeseen circumstances where you would have a challenge or any concerns like that right now.
Well, any candidate can file the same contest that McFeeters did. And they, as long as they, you know, they've got that timeline, and if that were to take place, we'd have to address it again, you know. I don't know if, you know, if that would happen or not. I will say that, you know, if whatever comes across our table, we will be prepared and ready to to conduct business as we see fit and how we have to handle situations. But I think ultimately my goal is we get past the primaries, runoffs, and we get our Republican team and we start building our team and getting ready for the general. That is number one objective for the Republican Party.
And as far as that goes, I mean, what do you look at as places where Republicans can really gain, or if anything, I mean, are you having those discussions that this is a Democrat, this is someone we could beat, maybe even if it is a down ballot local race?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was in Connecticut County the other night. You know, we've got a sheriff and a revenue commissioner that, you know, has a possibility of winning that election and flipping those seats. I think those are just as important, especially in the rural parts of our state. I'm looking at those small local elections, seeing which ones we can flip on those, but also, you know, going up the list as well. I think most importantly, what we'll do is we'll start our polling and figuring out the numbers statewide of where we're at as Republicans, where we need to concentrate. We'll have red zones that will really kind of emphasize our efforts and making sure we're successful in those areas. And after all these elections, that's when the fun part starts and we start strategizing and getting a game plan, making sure we're successful.
Chairman, folks want to find out more about the Alabama Republican Party, how can they do so?
Man, we are 3505 Lorna Road in Hoover. And of course, we are on Facebook, Twitter, social media. July 31st, we have our big summer dinner. I want to encourage everyone to come to that. It's going to be in Montgomery at the Renaissance Hotel. It's going to be one of the best events we have ever had. Looking forward to, this event is going to be more of a kind of like a rally, getting people excited and getting them motivated to turn out to vote number one in November, but also, you know, just spread the word of the, you know, we've got a new direction with the Republican Party and the things we're wanting to accomplish, and we're wanting to take our party to another level. And I would love to encourage anyone to get on our team and help us move that needle forward.
Chairman, we appreciate it. We'll talk again.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Underneath the mountain moonlight, hold her up tight, make a little loving, a little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line. Fits my life, oh, so right.